love you, Jesus. Praise God, praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Glory to God. Praise God. Back to 1 John chapter number 4. 1 John chapter number 4. Good to see each and every one of you here today. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm just so thrilled, amen, to be able to see Brother Tucker here. We surely did miss him while he was gone. I know he was here last week. But we're very excited he's back, continuing to pray for him. God would continue his touch upon him. Amen. I know that there's one or two that are out today at least, either still in quarantine or sick in body. And so we're going to lift them up in prayer. Praise God. But you're here, and that's what matters. And God's here, and that's what really matters. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, you've had time to get there. Let's go to 1 John chapter number 4. And we're just going to read one verse here this morning. Verse number 19. We love him because he first loved us. Amen. We love him because he first loved us. And I just simply want to bring to you what I feel like the Lord has laid upon my heart. And part of it is a theme that the Lord has been dealing with me about, and I've been asking him to help me in these messages. But I want to talk to you this morning about response in relationship. Amen. Response in relationship. Praise God. Father, we love you and we thank you for all that you have done, for your many blessings upon us. We thank you for your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. God, your word helps us. Your word is everything that we need. I pray, God, that you would take this word here this morning, open it up unto us, impart unto us revelation, impart unto us understanding. God, let your spirit do a work with inside the heart today. And I pray, God, that you would do these things in your lovely name. And we'll be quick to give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And God bless you, and you may be seated. Praise God. We love him because he first loved us. Amen. What a deal. Amen. What a deal. And thank God that he loved us. The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, that he died for us. And you may would give your life for a child. And when I say that, I'm talking about a child that has done wrong. Not a child that has cancer, has been in tremendous pain, and the opportunity would be given for you to transfer that disease and that pain to you so that you could experience it and die in its place. But rather, let's say a child that has committed some type of egregious sin and been a violent criminal, was in and on death row for murder, and you would love that child, but I wonder how many would go to an electric chair or to a gas chamber or into the death room to take the place of that one that shows no remorse and to be injected with the poison that would take your life while the other one went free. That's the type of love that God has for us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Praise God. There was no remorse on our side, not while we were yet repentant, but while we were yet sinners. Involved in the filthy, vile acts of sin, God laid down his life for us that we could go free. And the love that was shed abroad at that moment there at Calvary is the grace of God that has been made known unto us. And it is there for our taking. It is there for us to receive. It is there for us to accept. It's there for us. In other words, there's still not much change in us. It's there for us. And then in seeing and hearing about the love of God, or maybe reaching the bottom of our life's barrel, we would begin to cry out. And when we cry out, then we find that grace, we find that mercy. That is the love that was shed for us. Amen. What manner of love is it that a man would give his life for his friend, but yet God hath given his love for those that despised him, that hated him, that reviled him. Amen. God gave his life for those. When you were in the deepest acts of sin that you have experienced in life, amen, God loved you and laid down his life in that situation. Praise God. Why we love him? Because he first loved us. Praise God. Moses reminded the children of Israel that God loved them simply because that God chose to love them. Amen. It wasn't because that they were good. It was because that God chose to love them. Deuteronomy 7:7-8, the Bible teaches us that the Lord did not set, Moses told him, the Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because that you were more in number than any people. For you were the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you and because because the Lord loved you and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your father, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of the bondman from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. God loved you because he chose to love you. Not because that you were the greatest in number. Not because that you were the mightiest in power. Not because you had the most talent and abilities. Amen. But God chose. Amen. God loved you simply because he decided to do that. Jeremiah reminded the Hebrews that God loved them with a timeless love. Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. The everlasting love, a timeless love. We can relate to that in reading of the verses and the history and the stories of the Hebrew children. Amen. The everlasting love that was there. In other words, the times that they decided to love God, he expressed his love and provided for them. But there were other times that they chose not to love God and they chose to love the things of the world. They fell into idolatry, but God still loved them with an everlasting love. Amen. God, if we could picture it like this, let me flip the billboard around to you and paint on the other side of the picture the reciprocation of love. But the Bible says that no man can love two masters. For he will love the one and despise the other. Amen. Or he'll cling to one or cling to the other. Amen. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Praise God. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. What are you saying, preacher? Amen. I'm telling you that God possesses an ability to love us when it is not returned. Amen. And for us in loving God, amen, we cannot say that we love God and love the world at the same time. Amen. You either love God or you love the world. There is no in between. Amen. Praise God. You cannot serve two masters. Amen. Somebody once said that in concerning an individual that had backslidden, said, you know, I believe that they love God in their hearts. But that's really not what the scripture teaches us. Amen. The Bible teaches us that if the love of the world is in a man, then the love of God is not in that individual. And whereas that may sound extremely brutal, nevertheless, it's the way that the scriptures have provided. And in this, there is a deception that the enemy causes and wants the sinner and the pity that is put upon us for us to believe as well as the sinner to believe that, you know, I do love God and I love this one. Go tell your spouse that. Go tell your spouse that. Amen. Go ahead and show up at home with your, amen, with your arm wrapped through the, amen, through somebody else's arm and explain to your spouse, amen, how that you love them, but you can really love this other person as well. Amen. Come back and tell me exactly how that works. Amen. Not that I care to try it myself. Amen. I'll have my phone on 911 ready to press the button to call you some help. Hallelujah, because it's not going to work. Amen. Like Elder Morton has always said, he said, that went over like a crocheted bathtub. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm just here to tell you it's not going to work. It's not going to work. If that doesn't work, then how and why should it work when it comes to the things of God? How is it that we can love the things of the world? How is it that we can love the sin, amen, that is in the world, yoke up with it and come unto the Lord and say, you're just going to have to share me for a little bit because I love you, but I love these other things as well. I want you to know that God does love you, amen, but you do not love God. Praise God. That's really the way that it comes down to. But God has loved us with a everlasting love, amen, with an unfathomable love, a love that is beyond comprehension. God has loved us, and that's the way that God initially designed it and desired for it to be. Genesis 1 and 27 teaches us concerning the creation of mankind, and in verse number, or chapter 2 and verse number 8, there in the Garden of Eden planted, amen, God the man to dress it and to keep it, and God gave him a wife, amen, and created him, amen, a woman. But the desires of God was to fellowship or to commune with his creation. For the Bible teaches us that Adam and Eve heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Amen. This was the plan of God, the desire of God to communicate, for there to be a reciprocation of love between him and his creator. Praise God. I just want to stop right here, and I want to step back, and I want to interject something here today because I have felt it two different times. Amen. And so I just want to go back, and I just want to hit it one more time. Amen. Don't tell me that you love God showing up on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, or any other time that we would collectively have church. Amen. But when you go out there, amen, you can still slip around and be sinning and doing those things and then coming in. Amen. That's prostitution. Amen. That's hypocrisy. Praise God. I've come to awaken you. I've come to open your eyes, to bring understanding to you. Amen. You have a different love in you. Amen. You need to forsake that. You need to repent of those sins. Amen. You need to walk away from that. You need to find an altar, and you need to fall in love with Jesus Christ again. Praise God. Praise God. It's still the truth. It's still the truth. It's still the truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can't come in here, amen, and profess to have a love for God and be out there and doing the things that you know that God hates. Amen. The things that would keep you out of heaven. I want you to know that if it'll keep you out of heaven at 13 years of age, it'll keep you out of heaven at 23 years of age. It'll keep you out of heaven at 43 years of age. The same thing will keep you out of heaven at 73 years of age. You do not graduate, amen, to a place that sin is no longer sin within you. Amen. Sin is always sin. Amen. Sin is black. Amen. Sin is black. Amen. There is no gray areas in that. There is no place that we come to a place, amen, that we are now mature enough to play around with sin. Amen. We need to forsake these things and to fall in love with Jesus. I submit to you this morning that the problem with the relationship that you have with God is not on God's side. It's on your side. You're flirting with the things of the world. You're messing around with the things of the world. You're hanging around with the things of the world. You're going comfortable with the things of the world. And therefore, your relationship with God has suffered. You need to forsake that. You need to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And God said, I will receive you. Hallelujah. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. Let us cleanse ourselves from all of the filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the sight of God. Hallelujah. Let's just love the Lord here today. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God, praise God, praise God. And that God desires to help you. Amen. God will take time, amen, to interject into a prepared message. Amen. To be able to speak to you. God, give us ears to hear and a spirit to receive and to be obedient unto Him. Praise the Lord. And so the desire of God was to commune with His creation. He desired to have that relationship. And it's not much of a relationship if there is not the reciprocation of love. It's not much of a relationship if you've got one person given, amen, and nobody else given, amen, and really the second person isn't even really receiving it. Praise God. It doesn't equate to very much of a relationship. But this is the way that God designed for it to be. He designed that He would come down to man. Amen. Think about that. He designed it that way, that He would come down to where mankind was. We don't ever see Adam and Eve ascending up out of the garden of Eden. But we do know that God came down into a place that He had prepared. And in that place of preparation, He would commune with them. And this principle is even communicated in the New Testament in John 4 and 23 and 24. When Jesus was speaking to the woman at the well, and He told her, He said, for the hour is come, and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Amen. There is that relationship, that worship going. But He finishes it up there. He said, for the Father seeketh them, amen, such to worship Him. Amen. For God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And so you have have the collaboration of the ones that are seeking to worship God. And you've got God seeking those that worship Him. There is that desire of both parties. The desire of the worshipers, amen, to turn their affection and to see the face or the desire of their worship. And there is the God of heaven that is searching and seeking and listening to the voices of those that would worship. Worship is described to be, amen, as amen in spirit of in truth and in spirit. And so there is not to be those that, let me just hit it here today, that those that would lift their voice and say, I worship you. Lift their voice and say, I love you. But yet they got the girlfriends and the boyfriends. And I'm not just talking about the physical aspects. I'm talking about the cares of life, the cares of this world, the loves on the side. Amen. They've got their love life, their worldly love life on the side. And they come into the house of God and they say, I love you too. I worship you too. Amen. But this shows us that God bypasses that. Amen. God bypasses that. Seeking those that would worship Him in spirit and in truth. I believe that is in the truth of their heart. Amen. That they love Him truly with all of their heart. But at the same time, I believe that it is, amen, worshiping Him in spirit and in truth, in the truths of the doctrine of the Bible. Amen. We cannot just decide what we are going to believe and what we're not going to believe, and then just say, God, take it or leave it. If you take it, then I'll worship you upon these grounds. Amen. And if you leave it, then it was your choice. No, He has an everlasting love. Praise God. When you stepped to that altar of marriage, you said, for better or for worse, in richer or in poor. Amen. What you were saying is, no matter what comes my way, my love for you and my allegiance unto you shall be unwavering. I pledge my allegiance unto you until death do us part. And that's the way that the Spirit of God is reciprocated. Amen. That the love of God is shed abroad in our lives, that the love of God, amen, is made manifest within us. And when we come to Him and we say, God, I pledge my love unto you, I pledge my allegiance unto you, no matter what comes my way, if riches come my way and job offerings come my way, I'm gonna love you even if I have to bypass that job opportunity. Amen. God, if I fall flat on my face and I wind up to be a poor beggar, God, I'm going to love you and I'm going to depend upon you and trust in you. Amen. Through all of this. Amen. God, no matter what comes my way, I will love you. And what does the Lord say in return in His vows? He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. He said, I'll provide your every need. Amen. Our every need is provided according to His riches in glory. You see, that's the love relationship that God wants. Amen. You love Him, He will love you. He will not wind up on the bottom side or on the end of a balance wanting. God's love is faithful. Praise God. This shows us that the Spirit of God desires response. He wants there to be that response of relation. Amen. We see that response was depicted throughout all of Genesis chapter number 1. The earth was without form and void and full of darkness. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Amen. And things began to happen. In other words, the legislative voice of God turned into an executive voice.
And his creation, and even the things which were not, began to respond. God said, let there be light. And there was no light, but light responded to the voice of God. Amen. The Bible teaches us in the book of Hebrews chapter number 11 that God framed this earth or this world by his spoken voice. Amen. As he spoke into existence the trees and the animals and the fowls of the air and all of the other things, they responded to his voice. It reminds me, amen, of even a child that can be sitting there playing and mesmerized by his little toys. But when mama or daddy walks in and speaks their name, they drop the toys, they turn around and they respond to the voice, the love that is within that child. Amen. It goes further into relationship. Hallelujah. The fear that can be there when you're all alone and you hear somebody in the house. But when you hear the comforting voice that just simply says, it's only me, you don't have to worry. Amen. That fear goes away. That is the love, amen, expression that God has with us. That just at his voice, there ought to be a response. If you've got a relationship, if you've got a relationship with God, it ought not to take dynamite to move you. When God comes into your presence and begins to speak to you, when the Spirit of God begins to move through this place, as the music begins to conquer up, amen, it ought not to take much to move us. It ought not to take a fast song or a slow song. Amen, I'm in his presence. And because my master is here, there is a reciprocation. There is a show of affection. That's why I raise my hands and I wave them back and forth, because I love him. I want him to know, God, I feel your love, and I'm responding to that. Hallelujah. When the songs are being sang, it ought not to be hard for you to get up and respond. You're not responding to the music. You're not responding to the singers. You're responding to God. You're responding to God reaching out unto fallen humanity. You're responding for God reaching out to humanity that he is robed in royalty and wrapped with his love. That's what you're responding to. You may like the song, you may not like the song, but the fact that God is present is enough. It's enough, it's enough, it's enough, it's enough. Amen, amen. When I see people that do not respond to the Spirit of God, I understand that there is a sickness, amen, that they have. It may not be a physical sickness, but can be a spiritual sickness. Amen. There's something on the outside that's got their attention. As in the book of Proverbs, amen, when the wise man looked through the encasement of his window and he saw that foolish young man being led the way, amen, by a harlot, he said, I saw the end thereof. I knew what was coming. All if I could just get down there and tell him, if I could just get, but she said, oh, come with me, the good man of the house is gone, and I have decked my bed with cinnamon and with spices, amen, and can share my love with you all the night long. But the man that was looking down from the encasement of the window says, it's not going to end that way. It's not going to end the way that you think that it is. When I see people that are not responding to the Spirit of God, I see them being led astray. I see them following, amen, spirits of the harlot, amen, not just a woman, but the cares of the world and the loves of life, as they are being wooed and enticed and flirted with, and they're showing affection, they're showing showing attention. Amen. And all the time, the Spirit of God is trying, amen, to draw us. Oh, God, give us sensitive hearts. Give us hearts that respond to your Spirit. Amen. In responding to the Spirit of God, you're taking care of the relationship that you have with God. If you want a closer walk with Him, you've got to respond to Him. If you want to see things you've never seen before, go places you've never been before, experience heights you've never experienced before, walk with someone that you can depend upon, you've got to respond in relationship with Him. God's timing, even though it may not be convenient, is always right. It's always right. May it be an inconvenience to us at different times, but nevertheless, it's right. Because there is an all-seeing eye that God has. And this all-seeing eye not only sees you, but He sees your future. And He sees what you're going to go through. And He knows that in order to get you from here past there, you're going to have to bond a little bit closer. You're going to have to walk a little bit closer. And because that He cares for you, He's going to call you. He's going to draw you. Because that He loves you. And to not respond to that can be extremely detrimental to your relationship with God. There have been times that God has called upon me at very inconvenient times. Early hours of the morning, late hours of the morning, however you want to define it. God wants to all of a sudden talk. Say, God, why can't you wait till 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning? And if you listen, this is what you would hear Him say. Because at 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning, you're going to be preoccupied by the cares of life. 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning, you're going to be walking back and forth in your house. Instead of me being the focus of your attention, we can kind of talk back and forth, and you'll be straightening up and cleaning and fixing this and fixing that and fixing lunch and preparing and getting ready to walk out the door. It's not going to be good quality time. Amen. And the devil wants to destroy your relationship. Now, obviously, there's not a man in here that if some goofball, because that's what they would be, they'd be a goofball. If some goofball walked up to your wife and put his arm around her shoulder, there's not a man in here that wouldn't be incensed, aggravated, mad, nuclear. Like, hey, bud, what do you think that you're doing? You'd be ready for war if they just walked up and slipped their arm through your wife's arm and decided they were going to walk off with her. You wouldn't be about ready to let that happen. You'd be trying all kinds of karate, though you never took a lesson. You'd be thinking that you're Mike Tyson or somebody. But you're going to do whatever you got to do. And the devil knows that. The devil knows that. The devil knows that you have a relationship with God. And so he understands that he can't just come, thread his arm through yours, and walk away. For example,
You're standing there with your wife and some floozy walks up and threads their arm through yours and tries to take you away from your wife. I don't know what you're doing. Get out of here. Your wife would be upset. You would be upset. And the same is on the other side. Somebody walked up to your wife and tried to take her. You would be upset. She would be upset. If she's not upset, something's wrong. And if somebody come to take you away from your wife and you're not upset, something's wrong. And the devil knows that. The devil knows that you having a relationship with the master, that he can't just come and thread his arm through yours and take you away. And so he'll begin to bait and entice you just like anybody else would do a normal physical relationship. Mm-hmm. There'll be that look in the eyes, that raising of the eyebrows, slight wink, lingering communication. There'll be the lure of enticement, the attraction, the seduction, the enticement of seduction. Knowing that probably not going to get my way with you today. I'm talking kind of frank. We're all older people here. Probably not going to get my way with you today, but give me some time. Give me some time. That's the ways and the vice of the enemy. And so it may not be the allure and the attraction of the opposite sex, but it may be the weariness that you experience in body, deleting your time with God. The enemy knows, if I can get him to stop spending so much time, then that relationship will grow weak. It's like a rubber band that the first time that you take one of those thick rubber bands and you stretch it, it's pretty tight. It wants to come back together. But sit there and play with it for a long time and stretch it. And after a while, you can stretch it even further and further. And then after a while, you can stretch it and you can look at it and keep it stretched, and you can look at it and you can see weaknesses beginning to appear. Holes, things beginning to appear. You know it's not going to be long. Good hard pull and snaps. It's not necessarily going to take place the first time that you grab it. And so that's what the enemy does with your relationship, trying to stretch it, wear it out. And so it's missed prayer here, missed prayer there. It's not reading the Word like we know we should read the Word. You know, reading the Word of God keeps you bound to the Master. And so there's the delinquency on our part in this. We fail and we falter in these areas. And then there's a service here and a service there that we miss. A service there and somewhere. And after a while, it doesn't really matter. But you understand that when you first fell in love with God, when you first experienced the relationship with the Master, you were asking the preacher if we could have church almost every night of the week. Preacher's thinking to himself and trying to tell you, you calm down after a while. You cool off after a while. Now that time has matured on and stuff, we're so mature, we don't have to have that much church. Whoa. And that's the way that the enemy works against our relationship with God. Because he knows that if he can get us to begin to pay him a little attention, turn that second look, hesitate and walk, hesitate and thought, get by with a few things here and there, then he knows that he's well on his way to destroying the relationship that you have with God. Let me, without, I don't want to go into a whole lot of clarification. I want to bring this to a close here pretty quickly. But without a whole lot of clarification, let me just state it like this. And I'm going to, let me just state it like this. It's not necessarily your dress code that keeps you in relationship with God. Say, well, you know what? I'm dressing perfectly fine. I'm doing everything that I'm supposed to do. That doesn't keep you in relationship with God. That's a Samson mentality. That's a Samson mentality. You know, it's a sad, sad story that Samson knew the vows of his God, but Samson never really knew the God of his vows. There's the key and there is the difference. And if that's the only way that you can, quote unquote, show your love to God is by keeping vows, rules and regulations, say, yes, all the rules and the regulations and stuff. Hey, I'm telling you, I didn't make the rules. God made the rules. He said, thou shalt not. That's a rule. He said, thou shalt. That's a rule. Amen. And so there is a mistake and fallacy. There is a fallacy here that says that my relationship with God is strong because I'm not lying, I'm not cussing, I'm not dressing like a harlot, I'm not running around naked, I'm not, amen, some, you know what, I really, God's just going to have to understand I'm busy. I want you to know that there's a whole lot more understanding that's going on than you care to realize. Because God does understand what's going on. And the enemy of your soul understands what's going on. This ought to shake us. This ought to awaken us. Because some of us, as a matter of fact, I would venture to say that many of us have been guilty in this. Amen. We respond. Oh, Jesus, help me. We respond because others are responding. We respond because that's the care, amen, of life. We respond, amen, because that's the popular thing to do right now. Amen. Everybody's standing and worshiping. So I get caught up in the moment and I stand and I worship. But yet your heart is far from Him. That's what the Lord said. He said, with their lips do they praise me, but their heart, the relationship of the whole thing is far from me. It goes beyond lip service. It goes beyond just saying, I love you, Jesus. It goes beyond, amen, just showing up and saying, well, I've done everything that I'm supposed to do. Amen. There has got to be a relationship, amen, in order for it to continue you in a healthy way. Let's stand. My dad recently passed away this past June, and I went and visited my aunt, whom I have not seen in many, many years, and spent some time with her. Spent some time talking with my brother and such. Learned a lot of things that I did not know. You say, well, how can you not know? My parents got divorced after I was out of the house. After I was out of the house. 22 years of marriage. 22 years of marriage. You know what that tells me, first of all? You can't ever just think, well, you know what? I've got 22 years in the bucket. We're good. Looking for 50. No, you got to continue to work on that relationship. 22 years of marriage, thrown away, divorced. But this is what I learned, that there was no relationship for the last 12. For the last 12. That would have put me, as I began to think about it, that would have meant that 22 years of marriage, last 12, no reciprocation of love. That means 10 good years marriage, which would have put me at around 8 years of age. 8 years of age. I left home 10 years later at 18 years of age. Ten years of not seeing marital relationship affection being shown. It's just the way that it is. What are my recollections? I don't recollect them hugging, kissing, holding hands. As a matter of fact, I don't even have really any memories of ever seeing Mom and Dad sleep in the same bed. I do know that my dad slept on the couch almost every night. That's all I can remember. That's all I can remember. And so you tell me, how can a relationship survive that way? It can't. It can't. This December, I will have been married for 25 years. The way that it continues is we still got to keep it going. I still have to express to her that I love her. And she expresses to me the same. And I hold her hand. And I made a vow a long time ago that my kids weren't going to grow up in the same type of atmosphere that I grew up in. I can honestly say I don't know how my parents stayed together for the length of time that they did. I have zero idea. It doesn't work. And the same is with our relationship with God. There cannot be a one-way relationship. And if you push away, if you push away that love, it's not going to last long. If you push away the advancements, they'll soon stop. Sometimes I wish that I could interview several different divorcees just so that I would be able to help somebody better, maybe. But yet, I don't have to have a lot of testimonies to understand that when you push away in advance, it won't be long before it doesn't happen. I'm simply stating, and some may feel uncomfortable, but I'm talking about a relationship with God. That when God comes down and begins to move upon you, when God begins to lure you, entice you to come up higher, to draw closer. So, Jesus, help me. Some of us want God to come down and grab us by the nape of the neck and drag us violently down to the front and push us down at an altar and say, "Hey, I'm trying to get your attention here." That's not love. But throughout the entire service, God begins to work on your heart. God begins to tug on your spirit. God begins to entice you. God begins to lure you. It's creating an atmosphere for the miraculous. Oh yeah, for the miraculous. Don't tell me that salvation is not miraculous, that God can take all of your sins and wash them away. But how many sinners have we seen that have sat there in the pew and through the song service, amen, they sat there tears running down their face. They're not responding to entertainment. They're responding to the Spirit of God, luring them, drawing them unto Him. Amen. They sit there weeping and crying as the preaching is going forth. That's the Spirit of God moving upon their heart. Amen. Tugging at them. And then all of a sudden, the altar call is given, and God steps back, and God says it like this: come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for my burdens are easy. Amen. There is, amen, the proposal that God issues unto fallen humanity, and not just a proposal unto fallen humanity, amen, but an affirming of God unto each and every one of us, that God is saying, hey, I love you. I desire, amen, that there would be that reciprocation of love. I desire to grow closer to you and you to me, so that you could be able to come through the trials that lay ahead. And John says, we love Him because He first loved us. You didn't choose all of a sudden to say, oh, I think I'm going to go love God today and maybe He'll love me. The Bible says no man can come to Him except that His Spirit draw them. I wonder how many today that God woke up 7:30, 8 o'clock and whispered unto them, why don't you go to my house? I wonder how many backsliders there are that are out there this morning that woke up and that laid there in their bed looking at their ceiling thinking to themselves, there's a time that I would have been up going to the house of God and getting ready for church right now. I wonder how many backsliders are out there today looking at their watch and saying, 11:15, almost 11:20. A few years ago, I'd have been in church about this time. What a coincidence. No, it's not a coincidence. It's God gently shaking them. It's God gently moving upon them. It's God whispering through the winds. God whispering through the leaves of the trees as they rattle. Amen. It's God moving through the rippling of the river banks of the water. It's the calmness of God as they sit at their camps and their campfires and they think to themselves, it's a Sunday, I'd have been at. But it's the peace of God, the calmness of God. Somebody said, I'm going into nature so that I can get closer. I'm telling you why there's a peace. It's God trying to commune with mankind, getting you away from all of the hubbub of life. You can find that right here in the house of God as well. Amen. You can find that right here. Amen as well. Amen. These altars are open here this morning. Amen. You can have a closer walk with God. You can have a deeper relationship with God. Why don't you respond to His Spirit right now? You feel the presence of God. Amen. As He begins to massage your heart. As He begins to tug upon your spirit. You feel the love of God. Amen. The Spirit of God. Amen. The relationship that God wants to
to have with you as God begins to tug you, amen, upon you. But amen, hear my voice tonight. God is such a gentleman. He's not going to force himself upon you. Amen. He's not going to drag you to an altar, but he'll woo you. He'll entice you. He'll lead you. He'll walk with you. Amen. He'll be here with you. He's not going to leave you at this altar by yourself. You may look up at times and think the heavens are brass, and does God ever hear me? I want you to know that God takes every tear that runs down your face and puts it in a bottle and puts it up there in the heavens. Amen. That's how much that God loves you. It's like the bridegroom looking at the face of the bride as she with joy begins to cry, and he takes his thumb and he wipes that tear away. Amen. And everybody thinks to themselves, what love. I'm here to tell you what love the Father has for you. Amen. You can't even whisper without him hearing. You can't even breathe heavy without him hearing. God hears the sighs of his children. He understands the sighs. He understands the heartbeat. He understands every little, amen, idiosyncrasy about you. God understands. God loves, and God cares. And that's what God wants from you. He's not expecting you to be God. He's not expecting you to be God. He just expects there to be a love reciprocation. He wants to love you. He desires to love you. He just wants you to love him in return. Amen. God gave his life. Amen. God wants you to give up the things of the world. God shed his blood. Amen. God wants you to lay down the loves of this world. Amen. God did everything for you. He simply wants you to love him truly in return.
I'm gonna live it for you. Take my heart.
Response. Response.
Heart. I'm wholehearted in love.
Response. Peter. Peter. Do you love me? Lord, you know that I love you. Come on. Peter, do you love me? Of course I love you, Jesus. I'm here at church, aren't I? Peter, do you love me? Well, God, didn't you see me dancing? Didn't you see me waving my hands? Peter, I saw you caught up in the emotion. I saw you caught up in the action with everybody else. I've got a question for you, Peter. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know that I love you. Peter, I thought we were close. I thought you did love me. I thought, amen, I thought of everybody. Amen, you were the rock. Building my house, my church upon this rock. But Peter, do you see, amen, how easily it was for you to forsake me? Do you see how easily it was for you, amen, to walk away from me? Do you see how easy it was for you to even deny that you knew me? I'm not one of those Pentecostals. I'm not one of those apostolics. I'm not one of those Christians. No. Peter, do you see that? Peter, the only way that you're going to be able to get past that, Peter, the only way that you're going to be able to get through those trials, you've got to have a relationship with me. Peter, there's got to be a reciprocation of love. We love him because he first loved us. The love of God. The love of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me. Thank you, God, for not giving up on me. Thank you, God, for not quitting on me.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God.